Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today I'll be interviewing Kevin Cornelio. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a review on iTunes or Spotify. So what was life like growing up for you?
Yeah, so I would say for the most part, life was pretty normal or traditional, especially on the surface. I mean, I grew up in a middle-class family, you know, in the suburbs in Connecticut. And I went to Catholic school up until about eighth or ninth grade. It was a school that was on the smaller side and, you know, the same people all the time. It was kind of a little bubble that I grew up in, which was somewhat of an extension of my home where I felt, you know, it was a very comfortable living environment, very kind of safe and secure. And so I would say the word shelter definitely comes to mind to a certain extent. I lived kind of a sheltered life for most of my youth. And, you know, I was well cared for. My parents, my brother, we were always close. Our family was tightly knit in a lot of ways. But at the same time, I kind of had a different experience internally, which was a little bit more disconnected from everything I just described. I always felt a little like there were these differences that I noticed or kind of irregularities that I noticed in myself, in people around me, even kind of in within my family, as I just mentioned, very different personalities at work in my family. We're all kind of very different people. And while we shared this overall bond and connection, I felt kind of this distinction between each of us. And at the same time, I also felt a distinction between me and most other people I knew that kind of grew in my awareness of it, at least my recognition as I got older. And tried to engage more with people around me, with the world around me, with kind of the growing social world. So it was almost like living a little bit of a double life in a very subtle way, where on the surface it was just plain, normal, you know, straightforward. And underneath, I experienced kind of in my inner world, let's say, a very different experience of life and a different experience of how I kind of perceived myself and others.
What was that disconnect that, you know, in your outer experience, things were going well in your family? And what was that disharmony within you that that obviously affected you in some way?
Yeah, so it's a good question. It's a question I've kind of been grappling with, I think, for most of my life, as I kind of noticed subtleties that I wasn't really sure I understood in the first place, and wasn't really sure that other people noticed. For example, you know, within my family, like I said, we're very different people, have different personalities. And I always knew, I was very sure that there was a love and a bond and a camaraderie among us. But at the same time, noticing our different personalities at work, I would also notice how it was sometimes difficult for us to kind of meld together and mesh when we were all in the same place at the same time. And I felt kind of, whether it was tension sometimes, whether it was discord, things that were, you know, these kind of intangible, ethereal things that I wasn't even sure what I was noticing or picking up on, but that I felt and I sensed on some level. And so that's just one example, you know, and that I kind of carried on into, like I said, school and other social environments and athletics. When I would just kind of feel different energy or different vibe that kind of contradicted or was different from what was going on the surface. And I've come to realize now as I've gotten older and as kind of, you know, analyzed and learned a lot more that I now have come to identify myself as a highly sensitive person. And one of the traits of being a highly sensitive person is being much more aware of kind of the subtleties that go on around you than most people are. And so this kind of clicked for me when I reckoned with this, you know, activity and all that it entailed. When I look back on my childhood, that's what I recognized that I was going through a lot of the times, is kind of feeling a very subtle kind of under the surface vibe or energy that nobody else either noticed or talked about, or both. And so I kind of carried a lot of that internally. And it wasn't just observing the external, but also observing myself in a way. I've always been very kind of self-conscious, is a great word to describe it, I guess I would say, self-conscious in many ways, but, you know, in the way of analyzing myself a lot, analyzing when I would have a certain interaction, or, you know, did or said something or didn't do or say something that I felt kind of uneasy about in whatever way, whether it was ashamed or embarrassed or just disappointed in myself. I was always a very harsh critic. I always have been and still am a harsh critic of myself, first and foremost. So that kind of manifested in a lot of ways. And I started to pick up on a lot of differences between me and a lot of others around me, my peers, especially other boys, you know, as I grew up with others. And I noticed that, you know, the more I picked up on subtle differences and distinctions, the more there were these subtle differences and distinctions that I felt and recognized within myself that kind of made me feel separate and different from other people, or even more so from the kind of just the connotation of, like I kind of described before, the traditional or normal. I never really felt traditional or normal or inside the box. I felt like I was kind of always outside of that. And yet I grew up trying very hard to fit in, as I think most, if not all of us do, and trying to fit in that box or in that traditional normal role that I was supposed to be.
What transformational experience did you go through to even get to that point?
There's kind of a couple ways I can answer that. The first being, it was a very long drawn out process of, you know, at whatever point in time, let's say probably around middle school and even more so to high school, that I became really aware of wanting to change things about myself. You know, when you go through, go from adolescence into, you know, teenage years and going through puberty and all these changes are going on. And at that point too, also having kind of more pressure and more of a value on the social world. At that point, it became, for me, more of an impetus to kind of take some control and maybe change some things more intentionally about myself, especially in the areas that I just described were, and more where I felt kind of uncomfortable with how I was, how I felt, how I operated. So I would say around that time, probably, you know, right into high school, I was really trying to take an active role in what you could easily call personal development. Now that was, let's say, a beginning or an early checkpoint on this kind of journey of transformation. And, you know, throughout my high school years, even college years, I would say there were different phases of that. And then when I got into, I graduated with a degree in psychology. I was, you know, always kind of working in that analytical sphere, trying to understand better the human animal and the mind through all this. So it was a long journey and a process in that sense. When it really elevated to another level was a few years ago. I am 33 now, turning 34 soon. When I was about 28, 29, I'd been for that 7-8 years since I'd graduated, mostly in sales jobs, in a career where anyone who met me when I was younger would have said it was completely shocking that I went in that direction. I grew up very shy, very introverted, and hated, you know, I had phone phobia. I hated talking on the phone when I was younger. And then I threw myself pretty intentionally into a world that was very challenging for me and for my natural personality, that world being sales and the like. So my career being something that was very opposite to kind of how I grew up and who I grew up as, it was, you know, in a certain sense, kind of distressing on a consistent basis. You know, it wasn't like I had any one particular traumatic experience, but it was kind of a low to medium level of chronic stress all the time, dealing with something where, you know, not everyone wants to perform well in their jobs, right? But at the same time, I felt like there was almost an additional layer of stress and pressure. And there really was, because I was doing something that was so outside my comfort zone, and so significantly outside my comfort zone, that it really just consistently pressed on me and pulled me in directions that took me far from who I naturally was, and kind of took me away from being able to ever really find a comfort zone within that space, you know, at least to the degree that it would allow me to really relax and to, you know, find a long-term comfortable role in that world. So fast forward to, as I mentioned, a few years ago when I was about 28, 29, I had been dealing with the stress and the pressures of the working world and, you know, the world in general of adult life, of trying to build a life. I got married at that point. My wife and I were trying to start a family, having some challenges in that area. Life was kind of throwing, as it tends to do, throwing a lot of things at us and at me individually. And I was taking on a lot of things. I tend to be someone who just consistently challenges myself in many different ways. And so it was kind of a culmination of these different things coming together, where as I look back now, I can easily describe it that I was definitely in a stage of kind of a work addiction that, you know, or obsession, at least, with trying to succeed in my job. That took me from working, you know, 40 hours to 50 hours to just doing so much in my off time, or my supposed off time, checking emails, communicating, corresponding, work-related things, that it was almost like I was never off the clock, and reached a state of definitely, I would say, qualified for work addiction or obsession. At the same time, I had gone back down a road of health and fitness that I had, you know, coming in and out of over the years, but went further down that road than I ever had before, and was pushing myself to work out 6, even 7 days a week for extended periods of time. I was also restricting my diet more than I ever had, and more than I would ever recommend to anybody, to the point where, again, it was putting this pressure and the stress on me in a physical sense more than anything else. And combine that with additional pressures from just life in general, and you know, family and home responsibilities, and like I said, my wife and I trying to start a family, which is so important to us, and all these things came together in basically the result that by the age of, like I said, 28, 29, I was at a point where I had lost about a third of my body weight. I didn't have that much to lose. I was never a severely overweight person, but I went from being, you know, I'm about 5'8". I went from being about 150 or 60 pounds at the highest to, at my lowest, under 115 pounds, which most adult males, or anybody who's roughly my build, will tell you is not healthy or sustainable. I had definitely gotten to a point where mentally and emotionally, you know, I'm someone who's dealt with depression over the years, anxiety over the years. Those issues resurfaced and kind of peaked for me. And I think it's safe to say that if I had gone the route of seeking help with any of these issues at the time, I would easily have been diagnosed with certainly a state of depression and anxiety being at high levels, as well as eating and exercise disorders. There was a lot going on that, you know, between the world's pressures and my own pressures, really caused me to break and caused me to, not to overstate it, I was literally close to dying. And so I hit a point where, again, it wasn't really any one exact moment, but more of a period of time where I was literally in survival mode, mentally, physically, my body, my mind, everything was kind of at a point where, you know, alarm bells were going off, and I could just feel the sense of internal kind of terror and dread that was supported by external evidence from doctors I was seeing, from the, like I mentioned, kind of my weight plummeting. All the kind of signs were pointing to my body was shutting down, and I was literally entering the process of dying. So that was really, you know, as you can imagine, the rock bottom of all rock bottom times in my life. And there was about a period of a year or so where I was in this kind of, in this stasis, so to speak, in that survival mode, and literally just kind of hanging on to life. And it was through that experience, and obviously I'm still sitting here today and talking to you. So I got through that experience, and it was a long, difficult process that I'm still working out of. And I don't think ever really truly completely ends the kind of growth and recovery from that. But it was through coming through the darkest moments of that, and then coming out the other side, that really the transformation took hold for me. And, you know, I'd kind of learned over the years a little bit, or heard a little bit about people having these radical transformational experiences through a near-death experience, which I always equated in my mind with, you know, somebody almost drowning or their heart stopping for moments or minutes, and then them being brought back to life. And I never experienced anything like that, an actual kind of death moment. But I found that I came so close to it, and I experienced such a drawn out period of almost losing my life, that it really resulted in that radical kind of shift of everything mentally, you know, especially kind of my perspective on life, and kind of that mind expansion and altering of consciousness that you sometimes hear about, which went along the lines of everything I had kind of heard about from near-death experiences and radical transformations like that. That was really what I found that I was experiencing.
Were you always into health and fitness, and it just kind of just kept going on and on to an extreme?
Yeah. So when I was younger, again, kind of that adolescent period, I was always very active in sports, athletics. I played multiple sports every year from the time I was 4 or 5 up through high school. And like I said, around that time, going into high school and kind of engaging more with this idea and concept of personal development was when I started to take a more intentional approach with exercise, not so much because that was already a part of my routine, but especially eating. And like I said before, kind of restrictive eating. So I became much more interested a little bit in high school and in, you know, kind of a common or basic idea of dieting or restricting or trying to, you know, clean, so to speak. And then really in college, when I was in a position to kind of have a lot more control over my schedule, my activities, my eating, all that stuff, I really took it upon myself. That was when I first started actively going to the gym and lifting weights and strength training, which I had never really done before, and saw a nutritionist, kind of got a foundation of an understanding of nutrition, and then really kind of went full steam ahead around in my freshman year in college, around 18. And that was when that, I would say that level of that journey and that focus started. And then, as you kind of alluded to, over the years, it just kind of grew. And there were, you know, ups and downs in it when I was more or less active, but really renewed my focus around the age of 25 or so. And then, you know, took a couple of years to go deeper and deeper until it kind of went off, spiraled off the rails, so to speak.
How many books have you written?
So I have fully completed one book that I am in the process of working to towards publication, and I'm working on currently the second in a series. It's a series of fiction novels that I'm writing, largely inspired and influenced by true events in my life and experiences and relationships, and a lot I've learned through that. But it is a fiction series, literary fiction. The second manuscript I'm currently working on now.
What is your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I would say, to give one answer, one of the things I've learned the most from, if not, you know, the most of anything in my life, is that which I've been afraid of. You know, people talk about overcoming fears, and it's not even so much about overcoming the fears, which is a great ultimate result, but just by learning about your fears and learning through your fears, learning about why you have them, learning about what happens when you engage with them and kind of step into them and learn to accept them and move through them, that process to me is invaluable. And it's those things that we often feel such a pull to stay away from that I think we can learn the most from.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.